year should be Luili Nishmat.
USA?
USA?
Okay. All right. Thanks again to the Bull Texas for having us come here and learn every week. Shkach to you for coming. So we can dedicate this year, I guess, two elements. Number one for Foshlema, still for some Abigail Shira Bas Devorah Hadar, I think, right? That's Yitz's daughter. Yitz Inker's daughter. Oh, you didn't? Yeah, okay. She had a seizure a couple weeks ago, and they're still trying to figure out exactly how serious it is. It seems that the reports were that it was not the... The MRI was not so bad, from what I understood, but she should have a refuah shleima. And we'll also dedicate this year Eli Nishmas. I think the name is Gila Bat Rachel. Is that right? Is that what you were thinking of? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, at least I don't know how many of us were there today at the Levaya. At least half of us were at the Levaya that I know. I don't know. But it was really such a difficult Levaya. You know, somebody who's, I don't know how old she was, but probably about 30 or so. But you know, I think it was very, very sudden. And just, we were just thinking, you know, in addition to really feeling for our friend Avi, and we'll have to mention to him that we're learning in his memory, in his wife's memory, but also just reminds us the fragility of life and just never, ever know what's going to happen next. You would never have any clue how long we or anybody, you know, that we feel close to will be in this world. And there are a lot of, you know, scary thoughts we can have from it, but I guess the positive thought that we should have is that we always have to try to make every minute count, and if it's not every minute, at least every day. You know, that you should never believe that every day is going to be your last. We should always live every day as if it's going to be your last. Put everything into it as much as you can. The emotion we spoke about before, really make it all count, because we never have any idea what Kadosh Baruch Hu's plans are. Bezer Hashem, we should all live to be Ad Me'ad Esrim Shana, but this should be it. Okay, so we're up to the Melacha of Tochen. Melacha of Tochen is the one that comes right after Melacha of Boer. And Tochen literally means, who knows?
Grinding.
Grinding, okay, very good. So let's figure out what grinding is in our Melachos done in our Seder HaMelachos in terms of making bread. And then we'll figure out how it fits into practical halacha, and then we'll look at some of the details. Okay, so in the context of making bread, so the last thing we did was we got our kernels separated from our rocks and dirt on the ground, and now we have our wheat kernels. What do we need to do in order to make our wheat kernels into bread? So the next step after the kernels is to turn the kernels into
flour.
Flour, very good, thank you. Okay, how do we turn the kernels into flour? We grind them. Okay, that's called tochen. Right? Tochen is taking the kernels and grinding them into flour. That's the main element of the melacha. Now, the question is, in terms of halacha, so again, the Gemara talks about, you know, a number of cases like this of grinding and that type of context. The question that we have is, how far does it go? Meaning, does grinding mean to grind into flour, which is one type of grinding? What might be another definition for tochen, which may not be defined as grinding, but maybe grinding is just an example of what type of action? How would you define the action of grinding without using the word grinding, without
crushing?
Okay, so crushing is another good word. Let's say a little bit less specific than crushing. What's really happening when you crush something, when you grind something?
Making it into small pieces.
Ah, exactly. You're making it into very small pieces. Mm. Okay. So the question is, what is tochen? Is tochen grinding, or is tochen defined as making something into small pieces? Now, do you understand what the difference might be? Based on the two definitions, how might you define
chewing?
Okay, so let's leave that out. That's a good point, and that is talked about, but for our purposes, that's already a little too extreme to even discuss. Let's try to keep it to, you know, regular cases. So what's the point? I mean, what type of things might be included if grinding doesn't really mean grinding? Tochen rather means cutting into small pieces.
Cutting
a cake. Yeah, basically cutting anything. Cutting anything into small pieces might be included if you take the second opinion. So the first question is, what is the definition of tochen? That's the very first question. And then based on that, we can go forward and figure out where things lead here. So the answer is, that it's actually a machlokas in the Rishonim, in the Gemara Shabbos, what the definition of grinding is. Okay, some of the Rishonim, I think it's the Rosh and a few others, say that grinding means grinding, and they have ways of analyzing different sections of the Gemara. We're not going to go into that now, but basically they say that grinding means into a powder type form, okay? Into very, very small pieces, but not pieces that are pieces. Okay, it's basically got to be into the same form as flour. Okay, it doesn't have to be flour; it could be like a wood into sawdust or something like that is also a possible example of grinding. But you get the idea. It's something where the substance that you get at the end is not really the original substance anymore. Okay, totally into a paste or into a flour type of thing. That's opinion number one. Opinion number two is a number of other Rishonim, including I think Rashi and other Rishonim, that grinding means to cut into small pieces. And then of course you can have a lot of different examples that would be included. What's the halacha? So the halacha is, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, I can open up, is Siman Shin Chaf Aleph. Okay, we've seen one halacha in Siman Shin Chaf Aleph before. Siman Shin Chaf Aleph also has the halachas of Tochin and a few other things as well. Okay, Losh is in here, kneading and Ma'abid, tanning and salting is here. We'll get to those a little later. If you can find Siman Shin Chaf Aleph, so the halacha we're going to look at first is Sif Yud Bet, if you can find it. So if you need help, you find it. Okay. Remember, this is Siman Shin Tet. Remember, your Shin Tet is 319. Shin Chaf is 320. And Shin Chaf Aleph is right after 321. There it is. So just find Sif Yud Bet. The big letters. That's Siman Shin Yud Bet. Okay, ready? Okay, here we go. So this basically comes from the Gemara, but based on the understanding of the Gemara, which is based on Rashi and another Rishonim. I think it's Rashi. So he says here, "Hamechateich hayerek dak dak chayav mishum tochin." So mechateich is cut up. Okay, yerek we know, yarak is vegetables. Dak dak. What do you think dak dak means? If I know this,
very small.
Super very small. Small. Okay, chayav mishum tochin. You're chayav for tochin, meaning that that is tochin midoraisa. You see it? Missed it.
Yud bet. Oh, Yud bet.
Yud bet. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. So the question is, which opinion did the Shulchan Aruch here?
Sounds like it's a Rashi one.
Right. Okay, very good. He follows the opinion that basically it's not just flour type of substance, but tochen involves also cutting into very small pieces. Okay? So now, if that's the halacha, so then... Okay, the question becomes, what exactly is included? Okay, we can include.
What's the size?
Oh, so there are a lot of questions. Okay, you can break this up if you want. You can organize the questions. Okay, question number one. First question is, what is dak dak? Okay, meaning where did that definition come from? What does it mean? Okay, very small pieces. Does that mean like teeny tiny size? Does it mean like the size of a square here? Does it mean like a little bigger than you? A little smaller than usual? How do you define it? Okay, that's question number one. Question number two, there are so many things we said before that could be included in cutting up anything, okay? Most things we cut up, I think, would be food, probably. So then the question becomes, well, can you not cut up food on Shabbos? What about other things? Okay, what other things do we cut up besides food? I don't know.
On Shabbos?
Yeah, I guess not so many things, right? It's usually food.
To open something.
Okay, so opening packages, that would be a question. Is that included? Again, opening packages will be a lot of other malachas, but it may not be tochin. What else? What are the parameters here? So, that's basically what the Rishonim...
is it really anything other than food, though? I mean, is there another example?
I'll tell you what they do talk about.
Medicine.
What did you say?
Well,
okay, so that's going to be next week. Next week, we're going to talk about medicine. We're going to hold on to Shiur on medicine. We probably need like 5 Shiur on medicine, but they would have to do 5. Maybe we'll do 1 or we'll do 2, probably. Yeah. So, I don't know if we'll finish all of Tochin this week. We might need 2 weeks for Tochin, and then we'll use 1 or 2 weeks for medicine also. Anyway, so let's say medicine. Okay, medicine is an herb, really. Usually it's kinds of herbs, or not just herbs, but certain kinds of things like that. Let's say dirt. Okay, let's say a piece of dirt in the ground or in your house. Okay, you crush it up into small little pieces. Is that a problem with tilting? All right. So all these cases are questions. Where is the line between tilting? And in terms of food, specifically, we had this question about boer also. Okay. Yes, we understand that tochin is a melacha, and it has obviously significance. Okay, in the case of flour, it's obvious what the significance is. You change the form from kernels to flour. But also, if you cut up vegetables, okay, let's say, tochin is yarak and dagnak, what's the function, what's the purpose of cutting up vegetables? Let's say you have a big cucumber, and you cut it up into small pieces. What did you do? What did you accomplish? Why is that a melacha? What would you say?
Change its form?
Okay, I mean, it's still a cucumber, right? But how have you positively affected the form, affected the cucumber?
You made it edible.
Okay, good. I mean, it was edible as a big cucumber, but you can't
eat
the whole thing.
For somebody with a baby or somebody with dental problems or whatnot, right?
Also true. That's also discussed.
Or if you want to mix it with carrot, little carrots and something and make a little combination out of it.
Okay. You don't even have to go that far. It's true. Okay, all those cases are true.
So,
cutting into mix.
Kind of thing.
It's easy to put in your mouth.
When they talk about the katora, do they use that expression duck duck?
They do, right? What do they say? Yeah.
For like young people or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember where it's from. Yeah, I'm sure it is.
It's called duck cock. Towards swim duck cock.
Right? Yeah, but it's also there's like the duck duck.
I don't think it's duck twice. I think it's just towards swim duck cock.
Can
we get
the
sitter
or no?
If you have one right here. No, just regular
sitter. So you could think of, you could take spices, right? Or whatever it is. You can use, I don't know, a mortar and pestle. You can actually use a knife and keep on chopping and cutting with a blade until you get it, essentially powdery, I guess, right?
You're right, you could. What we're saying here is that
but we're not talking about taking it to that extreme.
No, we're not. We don't need to get to that point to be a malacha. I mean, dak doesn't mean... Usually when you cut vegetables, you don't cut it up into a paste. Okay? You cut it up into very small pieces.
Right.
The question is, what's considered as small pieces? I think it's just... let's see here. It says... Yishachakim el hadeik. Okay? You grind it. Pure, thoroughly mixed. Okay, good. That's in the parsha. Where else? And then in the Gemara that we go to Pita Makatora, so it says something here, right?
Maybe
so. Shovel kan yafei afek kadesh dei dak. This is what you mean. Dak kamina dakah. That's fairly good, right?
That's it.
It should be dak kamina dakah, which is finest of the fine. Okay, that's again, that's using what you said. Okay, a mortar and a pestle and stuff like that. So you're right. I mean, you could in theory get it to be a very, very fine type of material afterwards.
Well, when we say, use like makeup they used to do, like with a knife, they would.
Right.
They would cut.
You're right. The question is when he says mechatech to cut it, mechatech doesn't mean to grind it up.
Mechatech
means to cut. Right?
Exactly.
So it's both. Okay, that's what we say. We're not saying that the grinding is not included. It certainly is included. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, okay, it's also midoraisa. It's not just the rabbanon. It's the raisa to cut it up into small pieces. Okay. Let's start at the beginning. Let's start with trying to just determine the parameters of what's included in the materials. Okay, then we'll get back to the question of what the size has to be. Okay? I mean, what type of materials are included? Are all foods included? You can't cut up a piece of kugel or a piece of cake? Well, that's ridiculous, right? So you might guess what the answer is based on other malachas that we've seen. Anybody have a guess of how you might limit the malach of tochin?
Eat it immediately.
Eat it what?
Eat it immediately.
Okay, that's one idea. That's not the first idea that we'll see, but that is mentioned. Very good. We'll get to that. Another one?
Something recognizable or something like that? Or
not familiar with that one.
You're looking for a bracha, right? If you can recognize something.
I understand.
Something. So if you chop it to a point where it's beyond, recognition of what it originally was.
That's definitely true. The question is, when we describe dak-dak, does dak-dak mean the same thing you were just mentioning from Pita Makator, dak-kami-na-dak-ka? Or when you talk about cutting it, dak-dak, that just means cutting into small pieces, but it's still recognizable, okay? So if you ask me, I believe that it's usually assumed that that cutting it into small little pieces that are considered dak-dak is still could be recognizable, but it's still fussy, okay? Now again, the point I wanted to get here is not in terms of the size, but rather in terms of the types of materials, okay? Meaning what kinds of things are included or not. So let's keep going here. Let's do two different limitations that I'll give you. Okay? Skip the next line of the Ramah, because it's a little bit tricky. This gets to what one of you mentioned before, about something which you made it edible. Okay? That we're going to come back to later today or next week. Okay? Next line. But specifically only fruits, and things similar to fruits, are asr. Aval mutar... You're allowed to basically cut up or crush or smash bread pieces of bread. What's the word? Crumble. That's right. Thank you. Sorry. That's what I was looking for. Crumble bread in front of the chickens. Okay. Why? Since it's already ground up, you do not have to be concerned. Why? There's no tochin achar tochin. What does that mean? Do you know what that means?
You're saying that, well, it's weird because you're saying, well, when you make bread, you do tochen for the flour.
Right.
So now you're saying that once it's been, once the flour has been, then you can crumble bread and it's.
Right.
Okay.
Basically, right, anything that you already ground up once in its processing or its preparation, it's not usher to do so again. So what does that mean? Basically, anything which is baked, such as, again, bread, cookies, crackers, anything like that which is baked or whatever, once it was already ground as flour the first time, so then you're allowed to crush it up a second time later after it's edible. Okay? So in this case, it's bread, but again, anything which is included in all, you know, bizonos type of foods that is based on flour would be the same thing. Okay? So that, we've already gotten rid of a large chunk of foods that would not have a problem with tochen. Okay? Good so far? That's point number one. One limitation number one. Now, what other limitations do we have? So, if you go back, the other big limitation is, we can see in Sif Tet. Alright? What does it say in Sif Tet? So it says in Sif Tet, the other big limitation, Mutar lachtoch basar mevushal otzali dak dak besakin. And you're allowed to cut up cooked meat or roasted meat, even if it's dak dak, even if it's in very small pieces, with a knife. So the question is, why would that be? Why is that not a problem of tochin? Any guesses? If you want to cheat, you can also look at the Mishnah Berurah. He says also. But,
I'm sorry, the question was cutting something with a knife?
Yeah, he says you can cut meat, specifically meat. Okay. Why does he say that it's permissible to cut up meat into small pieces with a knife? And then, if you look at the next line in the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Yud, he says, Asur ligrog vina b'shabbat, you can't cut cheese on Shabbos. Okay? B'morag charuz ba'al pipyo shekorin ralavai. Okay? It's some sort of device, which basically will, you know, like grate your cheese or whatever. So, the question is, why does he say that you can only, you can't use a, I forget what the term is, we'll come back to this next week probably. Why does he say you can't use a term, actually maybe even this week we'll get to it. Why does it say you can't use it, you can't grate your cheese with this morag? And it doesn't just say you can't grate cheese at all, because that's tochen if you cut it up into small pieces. So what's the answer? Apparently cheese is not included if you're not using a device. Same thing as meat. So why are cheese and meat both excluded from tochen? And the idea is, again, think about other melachas that we've seen already. We've already seen a certain principle, specifically dosh. We saw a certain principle about when it applies, when it doesn't apply.
Yeah, remember? We didn't end that yet.
Yes, but not exactly. Meaning that's true, but in terms of the type of food we're talking about, not the way that it's eaten, but the type of food. I guess you'll be able to remember this. What do we say dush includes? Okay, dush, we talk about peeling, talk about threshing, squeezing. We said that it only applies to certain kinds of foods. Remember what they were? Or what it doesn't apply to? Everybody forgot. All right. To do chazara here. Okay. Dush, the Gemara says, Ein dush elabigidule karka. Dush only applies to things that grow from the ground. So we did have some limitations of what's considered to be the ground. Maybe animals are part of the ground. So we're not going to go back to that now. But for tochen, they say the same thing. Okay, the Gemara says also, it's not the Gemara, it's the Rishonim. They say for tochen that it's that's the same thing. Okay, that tochen does not apply to things that grow from the did not grow from the ground. So you look at the Mishnah Berurah in Lamed Aleph. This is what he points out. So you come to Lamed Aleph in the Mishnah Berurah. So he says mutar lach toch de ein tchina ela begedulei karka. Okay, he says tchina only applies to gedulei karka, to things that grow from the ground. So therefore, cheese and meat don't grow from the ground. You understand? So they're not included in the regular melachos of tochin. I mean, normal way of grounding does not include them. All right? So basically, the main problem of tochin is going to be for fruits and vegetables. Okay? Again, we said grain is not included because it's already ground when it's made into flour. And meat and cheese and stuff like that also doesn't grow from the ground. So that's okay. And then if you read on the Mishnah Berurah, he says, "Afilu la'poskim de'sfira lo de'vehema na'im de'vehem du'le karka, v'ishin yizun min ha'karka." Even according to those that say that an animal is included in growing from the ground, which is what we spoke about in terms of dush, because we said that there's a question of cholev, of milking a cow, and we said, wait a second, how can you milk a cow on Shabbos? Why is it not allowed to milk a cow on Shabbos when a cow does not grow from the ground? We said dush only applies to things that grow from the ground, but a cow doesn't grow from the ground. So why is milking a cow part of dush? And we answer basically that for purposes of dush, basically, we say that animals also are included as growing from the ground because they eat things that grow from the ground. Animals eat vegetables and food from the ground. So the Mishnah Berurah says, well, if that's true for Dosh, why don't we say the same thing here also for Tochin? He says, no, Mikol HaKom Eila Sorbazeh, you don't have to worry about that. Okay, in this case of Tochin, don't worry. Why? Because there's some other opinions, which we don't hold like, but there are some other opinions in the Rishonim that say that there's no tochen for any foods whatsoever. Okay, tochen is only for things that are not food or not yet food. But if you have actual fruits and vegetables, there's no tochen. Why? This is where Moshe's point comes in. They hold, apparently, that tochen does not apply to things that are cut up derech achila. Okay? So again, we don't hold like that. The halacha is that that's not true. But he says, because there is such an opinion, so certainly, at least for meat and cheese, which don't grow from the ground at all, you could be lenient. Okay? Therefore, you're allowed to cut it even if you plan to leave it to eat it later, which we'll get to in a few minutes. That we didn't get to yet. Okay, so far again, we cut out grains. Grains are not included. We cut out things that do not grow from the ground, meat and cheese. And basically, that leaves us with tochen being mainly, okay, fruits and vegetables. And also, again, maybe dirt, as we mentioned before, dirt might also be included, which is not a food, but the Gemara seems to indicate that dirt also, if dirt is part of the ground, you also, if you cut up dirt into small pieces, then that also actually might be a problem with tochen. We'll come back to that. Okay, any questions so far? Are we, any other points here? No. Everybody good on this? Yeah? Okay. Beseder. Okay, so let's now look at a few other points about tochen. Okay, question number one is, what is the size? Okay, meaning, what do we say? How small is small when we say that you can't cut it up into very small pieces? That's question number one. Question number two, is there any heter for things which are what's called derech achila? Okay, meaning, we mentioned before about the idea of eating. So if you're eating something, okay, is there any way that because you're eating it that you can be more lenient about it? That's not really called a malacha of grinding or cutting into small pieces. It's called what's called eating. Okay, for example, so before, basically, the idea of boer, we had a certain idea about boer, which is derech achila. Okay, if you separate, again, the good from the bad, and you separate, you use your hands, not a kli, and you do it for immediate use, for miyad. You said if it's done for immediate use, then it's going to be permissible. Okay? So what about boer? What about tochen? Might you say that if you cut up, you know, small pieces of fruits and vegetables, and you eat it, like, a few minutes later, is that considered to be a malacha with a significant purpose of grinding? Or maybe that's just called eating. When you cut food, when you eat food, you cut it. You got to cut it into smaller pieces. That's eating. That's not a malacha. That's not what they had in mind when they were talking about tochen. Even though, yes, it's true that tochen may include cutting up fruits and vegetables into small pieces, but they didn't mean you have a big cucumber and you cut it into three pieces. Okay, that's not what they meant. All right? Why not? Not only because of the size, but even if you cut up into small pieces, but that's how you eat. So maybe that's derech achila. Maybe that should be permissible also if you use it for immediate use. Okay, maybe. That's the next point. And last point is, what is defined as grinding or cutting in terms of other similar activities? Okay, for example, this is the main question they talk about. What about mashing? Is mashing the same thing as grinding or is chopping? All right, understand? Mashing a banana, avocado, or guacamole, whatever,
potatoes.
Stuff like that. Mashing or potatoes, yeah, very good. Okay, banana, also potatoes, absolutely. So is that also the same thing as grinding? Okay, so we'll have to get to all three of those points. All right, so these are all questions about the definition of cutting and chopping and grinding, not in terms of the material that's included, but rather in terms of what is called chopping or cutting. Okay, what's included? All right, so let's look at the first question of dak-dak. What is defined as dak-dak? Right, anybody want to hazard a guess what it might mean? An idea? How would you define dak-dak? Very small. How do you define that? What does that mean? Okay.
A noodle size.
Noodle size? Okay. What does noodle size mean?
There's a product called Dak Dak.
Oh, really? I'm not familiar with it. Mm-hmm. It's a noodle, or?
A very tiny cut up noodle.
Interesting. Is it long, or it's small? It's like small in both. It's
very
like small.
Thin. Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, it's long, but it's thin. Okay. So that's another question, by the way. Okay, what happens, let's say, the following case, all right? When you say Dak Dak, does that mean tiny little squares? Mm. Or let's say you cut up a cucumber, or was that a good example of this? Yeah, exactly. Or a carrot, let's say, if you're eating it raw, into very long pieces, but they're very thin. Okay, thin slices. Is that also a problem of tochen or not? Also a good question, right? Mm-hmm. All right, so nobody wants to hazard a guess on that one, then we'll go on. That second question is actually not discussed in the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch, as we discussed in the more modern poskim, which we may or may not get to today. Okay, so take a look here in the Be'er Halacha, okay, on the side. The Be'er Halacha, of course, is also the Mishnah Berurah who wrote it, but it's his more analytical work on the subject. So this one is not so short, but not so long, I mean. He says, And the one that's labeled Divrei HaMatkil, HaMechate Hayarek Dak Dak. Okay, that's, I don't know where it is on your page. My page is the second to last one, but I don't know if it's the same in yours. Okay, HaMechate Hayarek Dak Dak. All right. So, basically, all right. So basically, he quotes the Gemara here. I guess we can read it inside. This is the part of the Gemara that I didn't really want to get into, but I guess we'll read it quickly once it's here. And then the part that I wanted to get to is the last couple lines. So he says, the Gemara says, Amar Papa, Haiman de par misilka chayav mishum tochin. If somebody who's par misilka is chayav mishum tochin. All right, so the question is, what does par misilka mean? Uperish Rashi, parim mechatcho dak dak. Okay, Rashi explains that parim in Aramaic means to cut it into very small pieces. Okay, that's basically, again, according to Rashi, parim is silka is a beat. All right, and there's different opinions that we've shown about what this means, but according to Rashi, most Rishonim, silka is a beet. So you're cutting up a beet into very small pieces. You see where it is in the Ber Halacha? I can't tell you.
Ber Halacha.
Yeah, Divrei HaMatkil, HaMechatik HaYer, dot, dot. You see it? No? Look at the other page.
I think that's where he's looking, but I can't see where it. Mine's not highlighted on the glasses.
Okay. So he says, Uperish Rashi, Par Mechatko Dak Dak, Vechen Katva Toso. That's what Toso said also. Also, Demire Bechatiko Katano Ken Tachina. That you're talking about small pieces which are like grinding. Okay? Meaning very, very small pieces. But pieces that are slightly big, that's not called grinding. So we're talking about beets. Okay, we're not talking about like flour. We're talking about pieces that are very, very, very small. So it's almost like flour. But Tosa says if you cut it into pieces that are a little bit bigger, that's not called tochin. And the Rambam also writes dak dak. Okay. So the Ber Halacha though says ach kozel in chiyuv. All right. That's all in terms of a chiyuv, meaning what makes a chiyuv doraita. Let's say if you did it in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, you'd have to bring a korban. Aval and doraita. Aval inyan iser, but in terms of what's aser, and not just in terms of chiyuv, but in terms of what's aser, and maybe derabanan, yeshli zahir ma'obada. You have to be very, very careful about this. To kfar kata b'sefer yireim, because the sefer yireim written by Rabbi Lezer Mimitz, one of the Baalei HaTosfot, the sefer yireim is always the one that says something really weird. He's always the one with like the far out opinion. And we'll see later on Hilchos Shabbos. He has a few other interesting, very interesting opinions that are actually mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch also. So this one also. He says, the Shir Dakuta Lo Nadalanu. Okay, he says, we don't know. So I would have told you if I read Tosfot, I said, okay, fine. It means, you know, very, very small pieces which are similar to grinding. That means it's got to be like really, really small pieces of vegetable. Maybe like a really small cut Israeli salad. Maybe. But pieces that are like a little bigger, like the size of this popcorn, let's say, or, you know, little, even a little smaller than that, I would say that's not what he means. But the Sefer Yireim says, well, we don't really know how small is small. Shir Dakuta Lo Nodalan, we don't know. And then he says, Yosef, Yosef also quotes the Sefer Yireim, Zehitzrich Leinan Heter Ish Islanda, which is some sort of mixture of a lot of vegetables together. Shiyase Chatichot Gedolot V'Mitzah, that you should make slightly bigger pieces than usual. V'Gamiya Samach Lasuda, you should also have it close to the meal, which we haven't even gotten to that yet. We'll get to that soon. Ayin Shem. Okay? So now, so halacha l'masa, what do we say based on this? Okay, meaning how do we define dak dak according to this? The answer is it's unclear. We don't know what dak dak means. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's very nice. But now, Rabbi, what do I do? What's to do now? Thanks a lot. You didn't tell me anything, pickles. Right? So what do we say? All right, how small is small? So it's not clear. Right, it's not clear. Let me see here. The Shmira Shabbos gives. I don't think he actually even gives. Let's see if he gives an excellent thing here.
What's Perek?
What'd you say?
What's Perek?
Sorry, Perek Vav in the Shmir Shas Gilchasa is the section about Tchina. And it's in Halacha Vav in my version at least. But he still doesn't really explain it. Okay. He just says here. That let's see if Vav. Okay, so basically in the see if Vav here, he doesn't really say exactly what it is. He basically gives the same idea. He says gedulei karka chayim, okay, raw vegetables or kigon or fruits, kigon peru yarkot, sheinam vushalim, shemraskim otam kedei lochem. That you smash, you what's the word for rasek? Crush them or whatever in order to eat them. Asur l'raskam, and you can't crush them up. Aval mutar lachtoch besakin. You're allowed to cut them with a knife, chatichok gedolok tzat, slightly bigger pieces. Achleach toch dak dak. You can't do a dak dak. Yeah, pila zot zot samach l'suda, and do it close to the meal, which again we didn't get to yet. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Okay, so still, what does that mean? Okay, how do you define dak dak? So he doesn't want to say, meaning he knows it. Yeah, he's careful not to say anything. In a footnote earlier, which we're not going to read inside, in footnote 6, at least in my reading, footnote 6, he actually does have a bit of a suggestion, which is actually pretty lenient. But he doesn't want to say halacha l'masa absolutely. He wants to say that maybe we're talking about pieces that are basically, it's got to be, what he understands here is it's got to be really, really small. Meaning basically anything which is, the way he says it, it's a little tricky. Says that he says that any time that you grind something to the point that it's ready, it's suitable for its job, then that's considered to be tochen. What does that mean? It's suitable for its job. It means that you ground it or cut it up to the point that it can be used for its purpose. So basically, what he means by that, again, he talks about wood and stuff like that. If you cut it up to the point that it's almost, you know, small enough to be used for whatever you're going to use it for, in case of fire and stuff like that, then that's the melacha. What does that mean? Again, it's based on a few sources.
What does that mean for Shabbos?
Right. So it's basically for vegetables, the possibility is like this. And maybe, if it's got to be that, what he says about the teeth is that it's not considered tochen if you still need to chew it with your teeth. Meaning the pieces are still big enough, you need to chew it with your teeth. Mm. It would only be tochen if you cut it up to pieces that are so small that you don't actually need your, like, what do they call it? What are the teeth called there that chew? Molar? No, what are they called? What are they called? The grinding teeth. The teeth they use to chop to
molars.
Molars, yeah, molars. Those are the main ones they use to chew. Sorry, I forgot all my biology here. I'm not supposed to know this stuff. I went to YU and I did do college, but it didn't do me much good. I don't remember. There's the teeth that are used for cutting.
Incisors?
Okay? Yeah, I think that's the word. I think those are the ones, yeah.
Did you say?
Yeah, very good.
Incisors?
Yeah, I think that's it. It's basically the teeth they use for cutting. So if it's small enough that you don't need to chew with those teeth, then that would be tochen. But if it's bigger than that and you still need to use your teeth, then it's not yet suitable, basically, for its purpose, which is eating.
So like applesauce, like, you know, like...
That's already, for sure. I think he would say here that if it's basically like a really, really small piece of an Israeli salad, then that would be a problem. But anything bigger than that would be okay. But again, this is not mentioned as an absolute halacha l'masa here because, again, the Rosh Hashanah Orbach suggested it as a possibility, but you know, this is a bit of a chiddush. It's not so clear. So the bottom line is that you have what to rely on if you cut into bigger pieces. But halacha l'masa, what's usually recommended is basically to try to cut into slightly bigger pieces than you usually cut.
Let me ask you the question.
Yeah.
There are four different tooth types in the mouth.
Oh.
The incisors of the front of the mouth have a sharp biting surface and are used for cutting or shearing food
okay.
for small chewable pieces. There are 8 incisors in both primaries and permanent dentitions. The canines are situated at the corners of the dental arches. Anyhow, we can go on if you want.
Okay, shkach. That's the incisors we're talking about. But again, you know, that's a big chiddush, and because the whole issue is very serious, I mean, we're dealing with an issur.
Shalom
Torah is saying basically that it's not tochen unless you cut it into small enough pieces that you don't need your teeth in order to chew. It's already suitable for eating as it is. Then it accomplishes its function. Okay, you understand? That would make sense because then tochen is really accomplishing a lot. Then you really did something significant. But as long as you still need your teeth to chew it, then it's not small enough. Again, whether he meant an absolute halacha l'maisa, I'm not sure. Rav Neuwirth in the Shmir Shabbos is definitely not quoting it as bottom line. He quotes it in a footnote, and in his own version, he just says, dot, dot. It's usually accepted here as the halacha l'maisa is because it's an issue, and it's not clear, and it might be d'oraisa, depending on how you understand it. It's best to try to cut whatever pieces you cut should be a little bit bigger than usual.
So it'd be bad, would it be a sore then to cut, let's say, it up in a decent size and swallow your food instead of chewing it?
No. You don't have to swallow it. You can still chew it with your teeth. We're just saying, how when you cut it, what's the size we're cutting? So again, if you're asking me, that's the best thing to do. Like, ideally, the chachila, try to just cut the pieces a little bigger than you usually cut them. But the bottom line is, if they're big pieces, okay, if they're like significant sized pieces that are, you know, thick and they're big, like, it's not, you know, you wouldn't, if you're trying to make like a, you know, smaller pieces, you wouldn't make them so big. So I think that's still permissible, even if that's how you usually cut them. All right, I would say that, you know, when push comes to shove, the real deficient would probably have to be closer to, let's say, the size of a medium-sized Israeli salad. Okay, things like that with small, you know, cut up pieces of tomato and cucumber or whatever that are maybe not the tiniest, but like, you know, medium-sized. I don't know how to define this. I would say this size of this popcorn here I would say this is
borderline.
Yeah, I would say don't do it to this size.
Really?
But again, what I'm saying is, look, the best thing to do is to do what a lot of the posts recommend. This, I think, Rabbi Rivia mentions this, and a few others also. Just do it a little bigger than you always do it. Okay, whatever your normal size, do it a little bigger than that. And I would say, again, if you have a cucumber, if you want to do show and tell, if you have a cucumber here or a pickle or something, you can do a demonstration now. If you want, I can give you an idea of what I would get. But it's, again, it's hard to say exactly. If not, if you have one next week, we can cut it up and say it.
Pickles for my tuna salad.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I guess we're running here. Right. Anyway, so it's that's part of the, again, it's not so clear. A little bigger than usual, I would say, and you know, not if it's, you know, very big thick pieces, it's fine, probably. But it's something which, again, has not totally been resolved. This question. Okay, that's the story in terms of the size. Now. What is the story in terms of the miyad? Okay, doing it right before you eat, is that going to be a hetzer at all to make things any more lenient? So now let's look back in the Ramah. Okay, same sif yud bet, towards the end, the last line and a half of the Ramah on sif yud bet. See what he says here. He says v'chol zel lo mayri ela b'chotech u'meiniach. This is all true. I mean, all the things that we said is only when you cut it and leave it, not to eat right away. But if you're planning on eating immediately, HaKol Shari, everything is permissible. Needed to have a boer, because it's like boer. I mean, boer, we say that if you do it for immediate use and you follow the other conditions, it's permissible. Why? That's derech achila. So here also, he wants to say that if you cut it up for immediate use, that's also derech achila, and that should be permissible. Okay?
You can really sell it right away?
Well, we didn't finish yet. Okay, that's what the Ramah says. The Ramah is based on the Rashba. Okay? The problem is there are a lot of Rishonim that disagree. And they say that miyad, that immediate use, is really a main thing, mainly a thing for Borer, and there is no evidence in the Gemara necessarily you can automatically apply the rules for Borer to other malachas. Who told you that you could do the same thing for Tochen? Okay, meaning for Tochen, maybe things are different. If you're talking about chopping, if you chop it up into small pieces, you've still accomplished something. Okay, and you've accomplished that it's easier to eat, and it's a different thing. So there, it's a bit of a different story. If you look here in the Mishnah Berurah, in Sivkatan Mem He, right? It's a long one. We're not going to read the whole thing now. Read the first couple lines. Let's see what he says. Okay, he says, "Shari memhe v'yesh mefak b'kumen al hetzer." But he says some people are not so certain about this. Some people don't like this very much. Okay, and they basically, the Magen Avraham has problems with this based on the Shulchan Yigoron. And again, they explain it basically. It's not that this hetzer may only be for borer and not necessarily for token. V'gam v'Yosef katav sh'af mishu mechavin le'achol miyad. But Yosef says also, even somebody wants to eat it right away. You should still be careful to cut it up into slightly bigger pieces. Okay? And based on this, some people say, that you should do what the Bei Yosef says. Okay? Meaning that it's better to have it, even if you cut, even if you want to eat it immediately, it's still better to cut it up into slightly larger pieces than usual. But those that cut up onions or radishes into very small pieces, don't protest. Don't yell at them and say you're doing something wrong. Because they have what to rely on. I mean, you have an opinion of the Ramah based on the Rash, what to rely on if they're going to use it for immediate use. Okay. But nevertheless, even if you rely on it, you can't do it until after you leave Shul. You can't, well, it's like Bokris. You can't do it 2 hours beforehand. You got to do it immediately before the meal. It's got to be immediately before the meal, right? During your preparations. Okay? Then he says if you do it an hour or two beforehand, that's already almost chayav chatas, almost serious issur torah. Okay? Fine. Okay. The one thing that is not so clear to me, but it seems that many poskim accept this, is the following. Let's say that you cut it up in pieces that are slightly bigger. Okay? Do you also have to do so right before you eat? Meaning, if you do it based on the dak, bigger pieces, do you still have to do it miyad for immediate use? So this is not so clear. I mean, the Mishnah Berurah says that if you cut it up into, if you do it for immediate use, you should still make it in slightly bigger pieces. But if you do it in slightly bigger pieces, you have to do it for immediate use. It seems like a lot of the Achronim did it there to do that. Okay, and that's what the Shmir Shabbos I read you before says. Okay, he says that you should cut it up into slightly bigger pieces than usual. Okay, not dak. The yapid lasso, so some of the suda, and you should still try to be lakid to do so slightly before the Sudan. In the footnote, he quotes the Chai Adam and the Be'er Halacha and the Mishnah Berurah we just read and a few other things. So it seems, again, this is not so clear, but it seems that l'chachila, the best thing to do, if possible, is to cut up vegetables into, again, slightly bigger pieces than usual, and if you're going to cut them up for a salad, do it shortly before the meal. The same thing as Bo'er, meaning do it, you know, during your meal preparations, which would be right before you eat, not 2 hours beforehand.
So what if you were doing, like, those long cucumber slices, let's say?
Oh, so we didn't get to that yet. Okay, so if you hold that dakhlak has to be very small pieces, then a long and thin would not be included. If you hold that it's just one direction, meaning as long as it's thin, that dot, it doesn't matter how long they are, then it would be a problem. Then you have to do it right before the meal. Okay, and maybe it's a problem anyway. Even if you do it before the meal, it's still a problem. So that's a question. Okay, we'll have to get to that. All right, I don't know if we'll have time to get to it tonight. The bottom line of that is machlokas haposkim. Okay, I'll elaborate more maybe next week. The next point, are we good on that, by the way, so far? So again, l'chachima, the best thing to do is to do it for immediate use right before the meal and to do it in slightly bigger pieces. That's the way to make a salad.
Doesn't seem like such a big, scary melacha. Like, you can get a really work around it.
Yeah. It's like Baruch Hashem, like Bo'er, there are most things you can work around. Okay? That's generally able to be done. Not so bad. Okay. Next. What is the story about mashing? Right. Are you allowed to mash on Shabbos? So this will probably have to be our last thing for tonight, and then we'll say there are things for next week. Mashing is a machlokas haposkim. Okay, now we look at the Shmir Shabbos here. So the Shmir Shabbos passes as follows. Okay, he says, "Asur l'ma'och banana." This is in Shmir Shabbos Sifchet. All right, you're not allowed to smash a banana. Let me explain it a little better. Okay, the mashing that we're talking about is not just mashing into like a flour type of thing, but even mashing into like one big mold. Okay, such as a banana, potato, okay, which is in the cholent or something like that. All those kind of things. So he's mashing a lot, but it's still one mass. Okay, meaning grinding is usually into small little pieces. That's the big shot. Is mashing, let's say a potato or a banana, but it's still one mass, but it's a mush rather than a solid piece. Is that like small pieces plural, or is that like, you know, one big mass, which would still be permissible? So the Shmir Shabbos passes that it's usher to smash a banana, even though it still remains in one piece. Shnei Shar Gush Echad, it's one entity. Machma Lachudat Vichaba, because of the moisture inside. You also cannot mash a tomato the same way. All right. But somebody who has difficulty eating it otherwise, they can't eat it otherwise, mutar, that is permissible.
Baby.
Correct. Or an old elderly person. As long as you use a shinoi. If you go to the kaf of yadita mazlek, is to use the back of your fork or your knife. Not in the way that you do it, you mash it up with fork during the week. And you should still do so shortly before you eat. Okay? What is this all based on? What'd you say?
I would always use the back.
Okay.
To the shinoi, I would have thought that's how you.
I see. So if that's how you usually do it, then you'd probably do it something different than that.
Yeah, how would you do it? Right?
I don't know how to do it.
I don't know. The middle? I'm not sure.
Maybe use a spoon?
Like yeah. That's as long as you use a different type of silverware that you don't usually use. Anyways, this is all big machlokas. Basically, the Chazon Ish is the one that's machmir about this. Okay, the Chazon Ish is the one who says that it's a problem to mash like that. Rav Moshe, actually, Negros Moshe is Megil. All right, he says that that's not Tochen. Tochen means into little pieces. And when you're talking about bananas and potatoes in one entity, one mass, that's not Tochen. Okay? So he is Megil. It's in Negros Moshe. Where is it? Chelak Dalad, Siman Ayin Dalad, in the section about Tochen. He says that it's like flour. What'd you say?
What was that?
For Moshe Feinstein. Igor Moshe. Okay, he says it's permissible. However, unfortunately for us, he says that if it's possible, it's better to be machmir on the Chazon Ish. Okay? Being out of respect on the Chazon Ish, his opinion is something which we have to deal with, so therefore he says it's better to be machmir. All he says, though, if it's difficult to be machmir, then it's permissible to do it, to mash it. Okay? That's what he says. So again, halacha l'masa is generally accepted either because it's absolutely also like the Chazon Ish, or because it's l'chachil, it's better to be machmir, like Rav Moshe, not to mash these kinds of things on Shabbos. And if you need to, then you're permitted to do so, but only with a shinoi.
What about like ice cream? You know, sometimes like kids will get a bowl of ice cream.
So ice cream is mutter. Ice cream is mutter. Why? Think about it for a second. Even forgetting what we just said now.
It's already been...
You're close. Not that, but the other one. What's my ice cream made out of? most of the time.
It's made out of something, not from the ground.
Yeah, it's not directly from the ground. Either it's milk or if it's power out of stone, it's who knows what. But it's not directly made out of the ground. So ice cream is going to be mutter. Okay, potatoes. Again, we'll have to talk about avocado. It's we won't get to it now, but we'll talk about it at the beginning of next week. It's in Siv Zion, the Shmir Shabbos. We'll talk about that. Guacamole, exactly right. So that's going to be an issue. What else did we say before that we had to talk about? So when we asked a different question. Mm. What was the other thing that we just asked about that I said I would get to next time?
Next time in medicine.
Right, the medicine, but there was something else also that we said. I forgot what it was. We'll get to that.
Just to understand the Moshe Feinstein position is that you can mash, say, potatoes for a child or even yourself.
Yeah.
When but using the shinui.
Yeah, I think Moshe doesn't say you need the shinui, but I think that's the chazanish only. Hold on a second. I did not just check Rav Moshe's chew inside before it came. But I think that the shinui is based on the chazanish. I think Rav Moshe himself thinks that you don't need to use the shinui.
You don't need to use the shinui, but...
Yeah, because he thinks it's really mutter anyway.
But out of the chazanish, he's saying that try to avoid it.
Correct, yeah.
But if you need to, you can.
Yeah. So again, if you need to, you'd be allowed to, according to the Shmir Shabbos, the chazanish is better to use the shinui. According to Rav Moshe, you probably don't need to use the shinui. So if it's difficult to use the shinui, for whatever reason, and you can't figure out what the shinui is, there's room to make it. Okay, I think Rav Moshe's position makes a lot of sense. That it shouldn't be tochen, because tochen is small pieces. So, you know, definitely Rav Moshe has what to rely on there, if you want to follow him. Okay. But again, with the mention here also, if you're going to do that, it's still better to do it samach l'suda. Because you do it shortly before the meal, just so you could also have, in addition to what we said here, also have the idea of the ramah, that it's permissible in general also, if it's close to the meal. So even though usually we don't rely on that either, but when you have other factors, you can throw that into the mix as another additional factor to be more lenient. Okay. So next week, so we will come back to, again, some of the practical points about guacamole. We'll talk about using a utensil, okay, a kli, which we didn't get to tonight, what types of kalim are allowed to be used, okay, slicers, and other types of chopping devices that might be or might not be okay. We'll talk about that. I think there's other things we didn't get to yet. I don't remember what they were. I can figure out what else we didn't talk about. But that will be basically for next week. Okay. I didn't specifically prepare a little machshava vort, but did we talk anything about, maybe we mentioned this at one point, just something I was thinking about the mitzvah aseh and mitzvah lo taseh. Maybe we talked about this, about the importance of aseh and lo taseh together. All right, maybe we did it. If not, if we did it already, it's good chazara. If not, then nice new point. Basically, in this past week's parasha, okay, this is past week is Yisro. Okay, this week also, Mishpatim also has a reference to Shabbos, according to some opinions. But Yisrael certainly does, okay? It's Seretz HaDibros. So we know that it says, Zachor Yom HaShavuot L'Kadshem. You should remember the Shabbos. So according to the Gemara and most of the Farshim, Zachor is positive, right? It means to remember. What does positive mitzvah refer to? Positive mitzvah means Kiddush. Okay, remembering Shabbos is through Kiddush. By extension, also, Lechemishnah and the Sudas of Shabbos are also probably included in the positive mitzvahs. Shamor, to guard the Shabbos, refers to what?
Negative.
First to the negative. Okay, that's what they say. So it's interesting, if you know we say Lechadodi every single Friday night, again, I may have mentioned this a few months ago, or I don't remember exactly, but if not, if I did, it's still good chazara. Okay, we say Lechadodi, Shamor v'zachar b'dibur echad. Okay? Meaning, in the Aseres HaDibros of Yisro, this past week's parsha, it says Zachor, and in the Eschanan, it says Shamor. Well, how did that happen? Which one did he say? Hashem only said one, and the answer is no. He said both at the same time. Which, of course, is a miracle. Humans can't do that. But somehow, they heard Zachor and Shamor at the same time. Okay? Whatever that means. So the question is, why did he make it that way? Why didn't he just say Zachor? Why didn't he just say Shamor? So yes, both are included. Aseh and Lotaseh. Why couldn't he say Zachor and Shamor? Why did he have to say Zachor and Shamor exactly at the same time? Why didn't he just say Zachor and then Shamor? Something like that. So I think the lesson is, and I think somebody says this, and I don't know exactly who, but the lesson is that you need both. Okay? Meaning Shabbos is created by both together. Now, I don't know about you, you know, but many people, if you ask them first, well, which one signifies Shabbos more? Meaning, which one, when you think of Shabbos, of like the special quality of Shabbos, the special quality, the positive parts of Shabbos and the negative parts of Shabbos. So certainly most younger people will say it's the positive parts of Shabbos. I don't know, by our age already, maybe we appreciate the negatives also. But, you know, the positive is for sure, okay? You talk about the special kiddush and the wine and the food and all this fun stuff. Okay, it's all good, right? The zachor certainly, but the point of zachor v'shamor b'dibur echad is that the shamor is just as important as at creating the Shabbos spirit and the special kedusha of Shabbos as the Zachoris. Okay, why is that? So again, this is what we've been learning about the whole time. Otherwise, we wouldn't be spending, you know, hours and hours learning the negative mitzvahs of halachos of Shabbos. But the point is that you need the negative in order to be able to achieve the positive in the proper sense. Okay, I mean, if you have what is, you know, many traditional Jews have, now you light candle and you make kiddush, and then, you know, you go, you know, it used to be go watch TV, now it would be go onto your computer, onto your phone, or who knows what. Go drive your car out to the movies, whatever, you know, wherever you go these days. Go out for ice cream. You missed it. Okay? I mean, yes, you got the positive, but you didn't get the whole Shabbos obvious. You didn't get the Kedusha. Because in order for the Kedusha to sprout, to arise, you need to have, you know, the lack of all the other activities going on. And that's why Rashi says in Precious Achrimos that... and kedoshim, that you have to be separate yourself from arayos, from the negative, before you can get to the positive of kedoshim. That's the implication there. So here also, meaning if you don't separate yourself from all of the distractions during the week, okay, all of the negative things that are going on, all of the technology and all of the, you know, malacha, if you can't get yourself away from that, then even if you have the kiddush, even if you have the food, even if you have a nice miros, but the kedusha is not there, it's missing. Okay, you're missing that element of, you know, of connecting to it. Why is that? Because your mind is probably in 10 other places. Okay? Your mind is on, well, what about the sports game that week? What about my job? What about, you know, the news that I saw on the, you know, on the this? What about, you know, it's just there's too many things. You can't wrap your head around the positive kedusha coming out of the other things. You're too distracted. And again, today we see this more than ever before, okay? Just because of all of our modern technological devices. You know, the way that that people, unfortunately, you know, all of us are, you know, we get so, you know, I'm not saying when you need to have it, but I'm saying in terms of an idea, you know, how easy is it for us to disconnect ourselves from those little devices when it's not Shabbos? Mm-hmm. Okay, is there a time that you're able to put it down and like set it aside for like an hour and say, I'm not going to look at it now, even if it rings, even if it beeps, even if it does? No, it's not my time now. Now my kids take precedence. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's time for my kids. So again, if you already gotten to that point, then call up, good for you, and you get to the next point. Okay, only check the news once a day, you know, rather than 10 times a day, whatever it is. Even though today, unfortunately, the news is important, but you get the idea. Okay, the point is, though, we have to separate ourselves, and Shabbos is exactly that point. Shabbos is about separating ourselves from all the distractions of the world, because we have no choice. We have to. Because if you didn't force a person to do that, they would not be able to focus and concentrate on the kedusha that comes from the positive points. And your family sees it, your kids know it, you know, they realize. Okay. So that's the goal of all these mitzvahs los ha'aseh that we're talking about. Each one of them is a significant activity unto of itself. And that's why during the week these things are very important. And that's why Shabbos is aser. Okay, but on Shabbos we have to get away from all the things that are created and all the things that we can do and should do in the world and, you know, accomplishments and stuff like that. It all has to be put on the side and focus on what we already have and focus on our positives. So Bezer Hashem, we should be able to get to the point that the Kedusha of Shabbos, you know, leads us to understand that when we're too distracted during the week because of all the things going on, we can learn how to put aside the things that distract us and be able to focus on our kids, on our tefillah at the right time, and whatever we need to focus on, rather than just, you know, being dragged, you know, by against our will into the world of our phones, into the world of the internet, and into the world of, you know, everything else out there today, which is, you know, closer to our fingertips than ever. But hopefully we should be able to learn the koach and the skills of being able to separate ourselves when we need to from everything else out there. And that way we should be able to tap into the kedusha not only of Shabbos, but the kedusha of Judaism and of Torah all week long.